Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Sharon.
I had a 40-year porn addiction.
Porn was an unwelcome guest for 32 years of our marriage.
I found hope and freedom when I attended a Gateway to Freedom weekend.
And I found hope and the courage to begin my healing journey while attending Wives Care.
Don't be like us and allow porn to wreak havoc in your lives.
Reach out to Be Broken today.
To learn more about Gateway to Freedom, 3-day intensive for men, and Wives Care online groups, visit BeBroken.org or call 210-822-8201. That's BeBroken.org or 210-822-8201.
Anger is God-given. Jesus was angry. God was angry. It is a very important emotion because it's an indicator that something is wrong, and it gives us the energy we need to take action.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Darty here with another episode of the PSR Podcast, a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. In today's episode, I sit down with friend and former guest Tammy Gustafson, a counselor and author of Broken to Brave, to talk about healing after betrayal trauma. Tammy shares why wives often get stuck in their recovery, especially when pressured to trust or forgive too soon, and explains the importance of grieving and processing emotions like anger and sadness. We also discuss how true healing requires safety, honesty, and support, and Tammy offers some practical advice for wives and their loved ones. So whether you're feeling stuck or wondering when it's safe to trust again, this conversation brings hope and encouragement for your journey. To learn more about Tammy and get her new book, visit TammyGustafson.com. For additional resources, you can visit our website at BeBroken.org or check out the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And as always, friends, please rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now let's get into this powerful and redemptive conversation with Tammy. Well, all right, friends, we have back with us Tammy Gustafson. So welcome back to the program, Tammy.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so we've had you on a couple times before. We had you on to talk about the betrayal healing phases, and then we've also had you on to talk about boundaries after betrayal. And so I'll point our listeners and viewers to those in our show notes if they'd like to hear some of those previous episodes with you. But before we get into our topics for today, I want to just ask you two questions. What's kind of been happening in, you know, ministry with you and counseling? And then also, what is this very exciting new resource that you have that is coming out?
Yeah, thanks so much for that question. Well, the big thing that I've been working on over the past, actually, couple of years, 2.5 years now, is I have been working on a book. And the book actually came out and is available as of yesterday. And it is called Broken to Brave, Your Courageous Act of Healing After Intimate Betrayal. So specifically looking at betrayed partners. And really the book is, it's like a long conversation over coffee between me and a betrayed partner. So I'm really excited to get that out.
Yeah, and we're excited to let our listeners and viewers know about that. At the end of the program, we'll give them some information on where they can go for that. Plus, we'll have info in the show notes of where they can get that book, which is really exciting. I'm convinced in these types of spaces of ministry, there can never be too many resources. We need more and more competent voices in this space. And so I'm happy that you did that. For today's conversation, though, there's two really key subjects that I'd love for us to talk about as it pertains to a betrayed spouse. We're specifically going to be talking about wives here. I know that husbands can be betrayed as well, but in terms of what we're talking about today, it's for wives. And that is the idea of, or one question is going to be, how can wives who are going through betrayal trauma healing get unstuck if they've like hit a gully or just like they get stuck? And then the other question is, when is it safe to trust again? So those are the two big questions that we're going to answer. So let's talk about the unstuck part first. And the first question I have on that is, when and how do women get stuck in betrayal trauma healing? What does that even look like to be stuck?
Yeah, so there are many ways that women can get stuck in this process. There are many kind of common potholes along the way. And how I think of getting stuck, it's really this idea of you're moving forward and you're processing, and then something happens and the movement stops. And it feels like you are spinning your wheels. Now, the tricky part about this is that for betrayed partners, they're like, well, all of it feels that way. Like, I don't know when life blows up, like, I don't know which way is forward or back. I don't know if I'm helping or hurting. I don't know. And so that's the tricky part, that the lived experience. And I know when I went through this, I was like, I have no idea which way I'm going. But now from my perspective, walking women through it, I'm like, ooh, there are actually some really common ways that women get stuck. And it's definitely different per woman, but it's actually also, as you mentioned, the betrayal healing phases, right? It looks a little bit different and the potholes are a little bit different in each of those phases.
So what are some common examples of a wife getting stuck in? Because you mentioned it can all feel like they're stuck because it feels like, you know, who knows what direction is up or whatever. But what are some common things that can happen that can cause a woman to almost just stop in her tracks and go, I don't know if I want to move forward anymore. I don't know if I can move forward anymore.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a woman out there who doesn't want to move forward in the healing process. Now, whether or not they want to move forward in the marriage, that's another question.
Sure.
But I think for the early phases, when you first discover what is going on or when it's first disclosed, and that would be like phase one, and moving into phase two where you're wrestling, like, I don't know if I want to stay or if I want to go, is he doing the work? And all of that messy rumbling of like, what is going on and what are we going to do here? The two really common ways, the two main ways I would say that women get stuck is focusing on trust too early and focusing on forgiveness too early. And that can feel very counterintuitive because that's actually what women gravitate towards in the beginning, of feeling like, if I can just trust him again, then everything will be okay. Like when I have my betrayal healing conference, I'll often ask women, what are you struggling with the most? And probably at least a third, if not a half, say, I just need to figure out how to trust him again and move forward, then we're going to be okay, essentially. And the reality is, and forgiveness is right on the heels, and that can get really tricky when it comes to those who are Christians and have that faith belief, right? Because a lot of times the message is forgive right away. You know, forgive quickly, forgive and forget. We, you know, most of us have heard all that languaging before. But the reality is trust and forgiveness. Early on, if you focus on those too soon, your healing will stop. And actually his healing and the relationship healing will often stop as well.
Yeah. So how can you determine if that's something that you're real? Because I would think, again, going back to what you mentioned before, you don't even know which way is up and it can feel like you're kind of pinging in all these different directions. How can a wife know if that is kind of the primary focus that she's getting to, when maybe it's just part of an overall, you know, a bunch of different things that she's thinking, I've got to work on? And the follow-up question to that is, then what is a better focus for her to have? Not saying that she's never going to have to deal with trust or forgiveness or anything like that, but what is the better focus for her to have before ever getting to those?
Yeah. Well, I would say if you were early on, if you're early on, you just discovered, or you're getting a full disclosure, or you're not sure if he's doing the work, if you're still grieving, emotions are still big, trust and forgiveness, they are both very important things. But I think those need to be put for later on, because I've talked about how it shuts down the healing process. But the reason why is because a lot of times we are, whether kind of we realize it or not, we are trying to short circuit, in a sense, the healing process, where the only way trusting right away or forgiving right away is not actually going to give the relief. It's not actually going to heal the relationship. And what it does for both of those, for trust, and I know we'll talk about that more later, but trust after betrayal is something that is earned. It's not given. So he has to earn that trust by showing that he is trustworthy over a long period of time. So that is actually not on your plate of something you have to do or a checklist you have to do. And so that we just want to put that on the back burner. Because that's, and we'll talk more about that later, but forgiveness is the same way. For forgiveness, is it important? Absolutely. We know that it's important, but forgiveness comes after you know the truth, after you know what you're forgiving. Forgiveness comes after anger. And right now that is one of those things too, where you can trust that the Holy Spirit is going to bring it up when it's time. But when it's not time to do it is when you are getting pressure, when it's early on and you're getting this pressure that you have to do it, or even that internal pressure of like, I need to do it now. If you're feeling that pressure in that time sense, I would say it's actually not time. And instead, what you want to do is in those early stages, you want to focus on getting safe. You want to focus on getting the truth. You want to focus on getting health or getting help. And it's really important, even after you have the full disclosure, your healing process is really the grieving process. So you want to stay in your own shoes and you want to get that help and get that support and feel those emotions and process through them and ask your questions and step into your power and set the boundaries you need to. Like, those are the things that right now is what it's going to move the needle for your healing when you're early on.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned grief and, you know, I think about, there's many that might be familiar. I mean, maybe, I know that if you're kind of in the counseling world, you're familiar with like the DABDA, you know, you got denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. And as I think about just that process of grief, which is very, very, very important in trauma healing, there's a couple of areas in there where I can see it being pretty easy to get stuck. And it's kind of those middle areas, right? You can get stuck in anger. You could get stuck in bargaining. You could get stuck in depression. So talk about maybe how to recognize the signs of being maybe stuck in an emotion that you feel like you just can't break free from. And then what are some key things to do to sort of maybe take the next step that's necessary towards healing? Let's talk about anger for one, because it seems to me like that's an easy one and a natural one for a wife who's been betrayed to just get stuck in. I don't know if I can move past anger because now I do have a full disclosure and I'm like, I'm madder than I was before, you know, when I only had maybe a partial disclosure. So can you talk about that?
I think anger is the most misunderstood emotion in this whole process. And I think there's two areas that I think women can get stuck in there. Most women that I see, or most women that I see within the Christian realm, they get stuck because they're not connected to their anger, not because they can't, not because they have too much anger. It's because they're not connected to it. And if they're not connected to it, usually it's for one of two reasons. It's either because they had a parent that was scary in their anger, and so they want to stay away from it. Or they have been told that thou shalt not be angry. And that is like the 11th commandment for women. Thou shalt not be angry. And ironically, it's the one socially acceptable emotion for men. And it's the one socially unacceptable emotion for women. So a lot of times women feel like, no, that is wrong. That is bad. I was told not to be angry. I was told just to be grateful and to be happy. And so they're disconnected with it. And the thing, like you described, like the sadness and the anger, you know, that kind of middle section. I don't see women get stuck in bargaining too much, but with the sadness and the anger, we have to have both for grieving to process. There has to be a back and forth between them. And what happens is when we pull anger out, let's say we don't want to be angry or it's too scary, and we pull anger out, what happens is you cycle in sadness and you get stuck in sadness. Similarly, for sadness, if you pull sadness out, because a lot of times that's too vulnerable, then you cycle in anger. But to your point, there are definitely women who get stuck in the, I am so angry. Like, what do I do with that? And to your point there, I would say that then I would look at what's your relationship like with sadness, you know, and have you pulled that out? It's also really important to differentiate between anger and rage. And I think those two get lumped together a lot, and that can really kind of make the process really messy and confusing. Anger is God-given. Jesus was angry. God was angry. It is a very important emotion because it's an indicator that something is wrong, and it gives us the energy we need to take action, right? Now, rage is not the same thing. Rage is there is a violent, scary, out of control component to it. And so it's important to differentiate that. Anger can be loud. Anger can be messy. But that is different than rage when there's violence, especially when there's been abuse in the background.
Yeah, I think of, you know, righteous anger is connected to justice. There is a sense in which you're right. Something is wrong here. And to not connect with your anger is to disconnect from justice. The fact that, no, husband, you did a wrong thing. And therefore, because I've felt the pain of that betrayal, I am angry. But you're right. Rage is almost retributive. It's like it's punitive. It's how can I now hurt you in return for what you've done to me? And that's never healthy. So I do want to ask too, you've mentioned some great things about, I think that are super helpful for a wife, maybe getting unstuck from some of these emotions that can either trap her or make her feel out of control. But what about the people that are around her? The people that love her, maybe even the husband that's working in his recovery. And how can people who love this woman help her when she's stuck?
Here's the tricky piece. Those people probably will not be able to tell whether or not she's stuck or not. And they will probably feel she has stuck because she is feeling these emotions for a very long period of time. And that's where a lot of women also feel like they are stuck when actually they may not be. It's just that they are feeling these emotions. So what's really important is that for those people around her, whether it's family or friends or therapist or coach, is that there is a safe place where all of those emotions are valid. Where if she is angry, then she can be angry. She can express her anger. She can feel her anger. And what happens most of the time is most of the time people try to get her to calm down, or they try to get her to contain her emotions or shove her emotions. And that actually contributes to her stuckness. Where instead going like, of course you're angry. Of course, he just blew up your life. He broke your marriage vows. Of course you were angry. And where people immediately go to is, oh, but she might sin in her anger, or she might do that. It's like most of the time what she actually needs is to be able to feel and express her anger, or to be able to verbalize her sadness. And that might be over and over and over again. And a lot of times that'll feel to other people like she is stuck in that, when in reality, this takes a long time to heal. So there cannot be a timeline on her healing.
I love that. And I think that alone is, I think, what people that are trying to help a woman who's going through betrayal trauma healing just need to hear is like, you know, you mentioned earlier about the wife who's been betrayed, and how especially there's a lot of these Christian women in that situation who don't know how to actually embrace their anger, embrace that emotion. Well, the same is true for a lot of the folks that want to help that woman, is they're uncomfortable with like, wait a second, I too have been taught thou shalt not be angry. What's wrong with this woman? I don't know how to help. And so that's where they might push into these, try to push her too fast into things like forgiveness or things like, hey, you know, go to your sadness. I'd prefer that over your anger, you know, or something like that. This has been really, really good on the idea of just the stuckness. Before we move to talking about when is it safe to trust again, is there anything else you want to talk about, especially for the wife out there who's feeling like I'm resonating with some of what you're talking about with this stuckness?
Yeah, I would say be really gentle with yourself. Be really gentle with yourself. And what we're looking for is we're looking for movement, but also just realize like, this probably will take, not probably, this will absolutely take longer than you want it to. And so I would say find some safe people who understand that. Because I think most of us have gone through this process, have felt the pressure of, okay, time's up. You're supposed to be okay now. Don't give in to that pressure. Like, you will heal. You can heal. But you have to allow yourself to go through the process and to feel the emotions and to grieve as much as you need to grieve and to feel all of that. And so find people who understand that, who can help hold that space for you.
That's really good. Well, another question that I think is going to dovetail with this other one, because you even mentioned it a little bit, part of getting stuck is maybe trying to rush some of the process related to trust. But let's talk about that, because these questions will be for the couples where there is a husband who has responded appropriately to his betrayal and is working to heal and grow himself, and the couple has decided that they would like their marriage to continue. So that's kind of the caveat that we're making for this next part of the conversation. But in that situation, I just want to start with a super basic question. Like, what is trust? Like, let's just start with a super basic, question of what is trust?
Sometimes those super basic are the most complicated, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, trust is this idea that I am going to allow myself to be vulnerable with you again. And it's this, even trust is this also this idea of, I am going to do that, and that I know I'm opening myself up that a way that I could be hurt, but I'm trusting, I'm believing that you are going to keep me safe in that, and you are going to keep me safe within my vulnerability.
Yeah. And that you're going to treat me in an appropriate way, right?
Yes.
Like, if I give this part of my heart, if I give my full self to you, that trust is saying the vulnerability that I've expressed to you, I have an expectation that you carry that with care, that you carry that with respect, and that you're willing to nurture that. So trust is a huge deal. I mean, that's a general statement on anybody who's developing any kind of relationship, right? If you're going to have a friendship or you're going to have a parent-child relationship, that's what trust is. Now, when we talk about trust in a marriage relationship, I think it goes even deeper, because you do have that oneness component of the sexual intimacy that also is the most vulnerable physical state that you can be with another human being, right? And we're talking about sexual betrayal trauma. So there's that aspect of the trust that has been broken. So first, can you talk about why it is appropriate when going through this healing for a wife to say, that needs to be later on down the road, and I have got to get to certain aspects of safety and understanding in our relationship before I consider opening myself up to that degree to you again?
Yeah, I really appreciate that you say that, because I think sometimes women need to know that they have permission to say no, and to say, I'm not ready, or to say, this doesn't feel safe. And so absolutely, safety has to be that bedrock before really there can be trust within the sexual realm. Now, some couples, of course, don't stop having sex, and some couples do have stop having sex, and they go a very long period without it. And for that, I just want to encourage the women and the wives that are listening, like, you get to make that call. He has broken sexual trust there. And there is nothing, like you're saying, it's nothing more intimate than that. And so you get to take the time that you need to feel like, I am ready now.
Yeah. And so let's talk, you've mentioned safety several times. So let's talk, and I know that there's probably a range in there, kind of a spectrum, in terms of each individual wife has a different understanding of what that would mean for her. But generally speaking, what does that look like? What does it mean to be safe? And then once there is safety, what happens after that regarding trust?
Yeah. So if I take it out of the sexual intimacy realm and just go safety in general, right? Because first and foremost, of course, there has to be physical safety and sexual safety, but the emotional safety, I think, is going to be the biggest one in the beginning. And so really what that is showing you that, one, he has to be sober. right? There's there's no safety if he is not sober. And sobriety is not the finish line, it's the starting line, right? So for there to be a level of safety, there has to be sobriety. And then beyond that is he needs to be clearly and intentionally working towards not just rebuilding trust, but understanding why. Why did he do this in the first place? And it was not because you weren't having sex with him after the baby was born. This is usually tied deep back into childhood that I'm sure you've had conversations with your podcast on, right? And he has to be looking at, okay, empathy towards her, owning what he did, not just like at a cognitive level, but owning that and connecting with her heart and connecting with her. Yes, it makes sense that you're angry and I will stay in here with you. And it's that idea that he really needs to have to break from his defensiveness and from any sort of bitterness and resentment and really creating a space where she can feel like, okay, this is different. He did that different. Okay, maybe I can't show him. Maybe I can't. I'm not going to give him kudos right now, but I'm noticing like he did that different in a way that was good. And it's kind of that idea of him. He needs to take the time to actually become the man that she thought he was in the first place.
One of the things that I like to tell guys is when their wife is going through this healing process, as I said, you know, one of the best gifts that you can give to your wife is, can you hold her pain? Can you hold her anger? Can you hold, in other words, you're not going to react or you're not going to blow back. You're not going to be defensive, like you said, but can you create space to hold that? Now, she has the total choice of how much of that she wants to actually give to you, because that's a vulnerability too, right? Even to express anger, to express sadness. But any of that that's coming towards him, I'm always like, hey man, create space to hold that. For one, that will show her what you're talking about. Something different. Something's actually changing in him, because before that would have been, he would have been angry or he would have been demanding or whatever. And so that's a big part of it. I want to talk about, because you mentioned earlier, I mean, that this is a chaotic journey for a wife. So it can feel very much like, you know, two steps forward, one step back. Which way is up? Which way is sideways? And one of the components that I think is absolutely going to play a part in whether or not a wife feels safe to trust again is the issue of fear. Can you talk about what kind of effects fear and doubt may have on her in terms of knowing when she's ready to really rebuild trust or move towards trust?
Yeah, I usually talk about this in the terms of fear and risk. Because the idea of moving back in, it's terrifying. It is terrifying. One, to go from that place of like where he has now done enough work, where he does seem safe enough, where she's like thinking about leaning back in. I call it the deer in the headlights moment, because women come into my office and they're like, I think it's time for me to lean back in. And it's terrifying because they have very appropriately so been guarding themselves and setting up boundaries and creating emotional distance. And now to do a 180 and to open her heart back up is very scary. So guys listening, please hear that is such an act of love for her to even be willing to do that. But then this idea of how do I lean back in? How do I open my heart? How do I stay with a man where I don't know if he's going to do this again? I don't know. I want to guarantee that he is not going to destroy my heart again. Like, please, somebody give me a guarantee. And there is no guarantee. And so the tension that women have to, or wives have to sit with, of that, I want to lean back in. I want to start to, he is showing himself trustworthy. I want to lean back into that. And this is terrifying, because if I do this, it's going to make my heart vulnerable again to getting hurt. And let me tell you, I just want to acknowledge that for all the women who are feeling that, listening to that, because it is almost like, it feels physically overwhelming sometimes. It is so intense in the beginning. And for that, I would say, go slowly. This is not an all or nothing. Your heart is closed. Now your heart is open. But you go slowly and you see how he responds. And this can be a long, slow journey.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I just want to kind of double down on what you're saying, for both the wife to hear, but also for the husband to hear, is that there can be a long period of time when she maybe has seen all the evidence that proves to her, like, okay, he's doing well and it's safe enough to actually start opening myself up. But to get the emotions to go in that direction is not as easy as just going, hey, this is just something cognitive and I've seen all the evidence and it all stacks up to this answer that says he's trustworthy. And so therefore, boom, I'm just going to open my heart. No, it's more, I think they need, both spouses need to hear that there can be kind of a leaning in and a leaning out and a leaning in and a leaning out. And that can go for a long period of time. And I think both spouses need to hear that's okay. It doesn't indicate that something is catastrophically wrong if maybe she leaned in, gets scared, and leans out for a few more days or maybe a couple of weeks. And it's like, hey, that's part of the process. So one other thing I want to ask you about this idea of, you know, when is it safe to trust again, is how can a couple know, like, what are some of the signs that a marriage is actually growing in safety? Like, we've mentioned a few things. You mentioned sobriety. That's one. That's like baseline. You've got to have sobriety to build safety. But let's go even a little bit further. Like, let's say some trust is starting to rebuild. What are some indicators that, hey, your trajectory is in the right direction as a couple in terms of rebuilding trust?
Yeah. Well, I would say for him, and something for her to look at, is she's really looking at heart change. Right? She's really looking for, not checking the boxes. It doesn't matter how many groups he does if the heart hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. But if there is a kindness and a gentleness and a humility, for him, that is a really good sign that he has become more trustworthy, that it's safe for her to lean back into that. I think over time, there is a shift too. Like, once they're far enough into that healing process, and he is really being open and honest, there's this beauty of this authenticity, this beauty of being fully known, that I think they can both really step into, which I think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And there's also a shift, because there are things, like, when you're in betrayal land, when things are working on that, like, they're just a different set of rules, but now there can be this openness far into the process. Of course, we're clarifying, where we can start to lean back into, like, hey, what can we both do? Like, it becomes more, equal, or for lack of a better term, where we can look at, okay, how do we both want to lean into this? How can we both show up more? And that's another sign that they are moving far into the healing process.
That's super good. Because I think, you know, we've obviously been mainly focusing on the wife here in terms of what needs to be, how can she feel safe to do this? But so much of what we're talking about in terms of the healing and the emotional connections and things that she has to make, that's part of where he needs to be growing as well. Like, I mean, we talk about getting men on an emotional growth mission, because that's usually the part of themselves that's completely stunted. And that's one of the reasons that they've developed all these poor coping mechanisms sexually. And so one of the things that I just want to encourage couples with is, it's so beautiful when where the broken places have been, there can be restoration there. And in some ways, you can develop an exponentially deeper bond through the pain that you've gone through, than if you had never gone through the pain. And now I know a lot of couples don't want to hear that, but listen, hey, if you're listening to this, you're there already. So it's like, I would encourage you that if both parties are willing to go through this, go through it, because what can come out on the other side is beautiful. And so that's where I want to let you have the last word of maybe just hope, especially for the wives that feel either stuck, or they're in that place of like, I'm wanting to know better how to, what does it look like to be safe enough to trust again? Just what word of hope would you have for the wives that are out there in kind of those situations?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, be really gentle with yourself. And just as I've encouraged you to push back on any timelines on healing that other people might give you, we also have those inside of ourselves. Of like, I want this to be over. Nobody wants the pain to be over more than a betrayed wife, right? And so again, the grieving process is the healing process. Like, we, unfortunately, we can't skip that. So allowing yourself to feel those emotions, naming them, research shows, helps process. Writing your emotions down helps process. Like, allowing yourself to go through that. And again, it is really helpful when you have some healthy people around you who understand this and can be like, keep going, keep going. Mm. And also focusing on yourself, giving yourself permission to do that. That's very important. And taking it slowly. Like, it is not a problem. In fact, it's better if you go slowly, especially in the rebuilding trust. And again, that's him rebuilding trust. That's him earning trust, right? And so you can take that as slowly as you need to and be gentle with yourself. And I would agree just what you're saying. It is absolutely possible to heal. It's possible to heal individually. It's absolutely possible to heal as a couple and to be deeper and to have a better relationship. It is possible.
Yeah. Well, as always, Tammy, this has been a great conversation. Where can our listeners and viewers go to learn more about you and your resources, and where can they go to get your book?
Yeah, absolutely. So best place to find me is on my website, and TammyGustafson.com is probably the best way to find me there. And then my book, Broken to Brave, you can find that on Amazon, and would love for you to pick it up. It is full of encouraging and empowerment for women who really would like some help and some guidance along the journey.
Yeah. Well, we will definitely be sure to put all that in the show notes. But again, Tammy, thank you for being with us and sharing your time and your wisdom with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, please take your next step. Go take a look at our show notes for those links that we're going to put in there for you getting those resources. We want to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ. And we love that you've been with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.